Anthony DeCurtis and contributing editor Rolling Stone. Well, I think that the reason why Sgt. Pepper tops these, you know, best albums of all time lists is because of its impact and its influence. You know, there's a sense, even as the album has lost some of its luster, and outside its context can be difficult to penetrate in certain ways, the album really just had a huge, huge impact and in a lot of ways defined what a rock and roll album was supposed to be for a very long time. So I think that that's primarily the reason why it, you know, it tends to rank so high in these polls. Well, historically, you know, Sgt. Pepper came out at a time when the album was just beginning to establish itself as the main format. And that was part of a much larger struggle in terms of popular music and in terms of popular musicians attempting to establish themselves as artists. So the ability to create album-length statements was a very important battle that was being fought in the mid-60s. Sgt. Pepper, of course, came along in 1967. The Beatles were at the height of their popularity, at the height of their fame, at the height of their impact. And there was an element of people really looking to them for the next direction. And Sgt. Pepper was a very dramatic statement. You know, it essentially announced the summer of love. It became the, you know, it became the soundtrack for that entire summer. And it also suggested so many of the possibilities of what the counterculture represented culturally. I would argue even politically. There was a kind of utopianism to it that captured the imagination of people at the time and seemed to just kind of break down whatever barriers may have existed in terms of what people's expectations of rock and roll and what it could be. So for all of those reasons, you know, it's very difficult to overstate what its impact was when it came out. It was just cataclysmic. It changed everything. I was 16 years old around the time that Sgt. Pepper came out, just turning 16. And I was beginning to, I guess, become part of what the counterculture was. I was, you know, a Catholic school kid that was tracking, you know, the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and Bob Dylan. I mean, these people were my avatars. And Sgt. Pepper really was a kind of very dramatic moment in my own musical life because, as it did for many people, I think it just suggested so many possibilities of this music that I had fallen in love with. I mean, they weren't teaching about this music in college, you know, when I was, you know, when I was 16. There was a sense in which this music was really fighting for a kind of respectability and for a stature. And Sgt. Pepper delivered all that. And so all of the energy that I think young people were bringing to this music and all of the meaning that we were investing in it, Sgt. Pepper seemed to double down on that bet and deliver. So it was personally, I mean, a very dramatic moment for me. I mean, it was... you know, it was one of those things. I mean, I can still, when I listen to Sgt. Pepper, you know, it's a very evocative experience for me because it's, you know, Sgt. Pepper is one of those records that people talk about often without listening to it very much. But every time that I go back to listen to it, I'm struck by how powerfully it affects me, not simply how good it is, but also just how much it evokes for me of that era. Listening to Sgt. Pepper in 1967, it was like it was on everywhere. It was when you walked into what was then the Village Theater, later to become the Fillmore East, you know, to go see a concert, it would be playing. When you walked into a clothing store, it would be playing. You'd go to your friend's house, they would be playing it. You'd be playing it at your house. It was just on all the time. It seemed so much not only... It was so much beyond music. It was very much a kind of tribal statement. It was a sense of, you know, which side of the line are you on? And at that point, you know, people talk about, you know, the culture being partisan or divided at this stage of the game, but it was getting that way then. You know, there was a real generational schism, a generation gap, and Sergeant Pepper was one of those things that determined which side of the line you were on. And so if you were moving in countercultural circles, it was just everywhere. It was, everywhere all the time. AM radio was really the dominant radio format in the early 60s, and that began to change. Sergeant Pepper was one of the records that really lent momentum to that change, because there was a sense in which there was an audience that didn't want to be hectored all the time with advertising and hype, a sense that the music was something that really deserved to be kind of spoken about in, serious ways, or ways that assumed that it had a deeper meaning than this is the latest single by so-and-so. Sgt. Pepper obviously lent itself to that. This sense that you could play a track like A Day in the Life, for example, on the radio, with its long silences and long fade-outs and complicated kind of arrangement, that was something that deserved to be on the radio, that people would talk about after it was played. I very specifically remember a late-night DJ in New York playing Fixing a Hole on the radio and just reading the lyrics. And I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets in and stops my mind from wandering where it will go. And ever since that moment, that song has been much more meaningful to me than it had been before that. I'd liked it, but I'd never kind of quite gotten it. But at that moment, that disc jockey, taking the time to just kind of work through those lyrics and play the song and really have it be something special, those were the kinds of experiences that you can have, and that FM radio in its burgeoning format made possible, that Sgt. Pepper made possible, and that all of the kind of cultural movement that was happening right then made possible. It was a kind of perfect storm of cultural events. Yeah, there's a number of things on Sgt. Pepper that really do still seem to have power to me. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds still seems to me to be just a beautiful, great, evocative track. Something like, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, we take its kind of psychedelia for granted now. But the Beatles coming out with a statement that strong, that was obviously about using LSD, was very, very powerful at the time. These were lines in the sand culturally. Just a line, an offhand line in With a Little Help from My Friends, I Get High with a Little Help from My Friends. The offhand way that line occurred was shocking at the time. It was shocking in its very casualness, because it was, if you know this, if you're on this side of the line, this is how casually we take this, but they caused a big ruckus, so there were, Sgt. Pepper is filled with moments like that. It was very much a message to a community, and a community that was just forming, and that in a lot of ways wasn't even sure it existed yet, that Sgt. Pepper made coalesce, or made its existence understood, the existence of this larger community. This album made that understood to, millions of people. So those kinds of moments are what, it's very difficult to recover them at this point, because so much time has passed. And I think that this is part of the reason why, people have trouble, getting how important a record it was, because a good deal of its importance is historical. As an album, of course it's perfectly reasonable to prefer Revolver, or prefer, some other Beatles record, or some other album. But at the time, those questions were so mute. This Sgt. Pepper was so far beyond Revolver in terms of its impact that it's not even worth discussing, frankly. Those kinds of things are what comes through, or what I like to really re-experience and re-encounter in my listening to the album, because it restores a lot of its emotional force to me. I mean, I'm sure Julian did come in with a picture of Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, but Lennon, who claimed to have taken thousands of LSD trips, there's simply no way in the world that that song is not about LSD. The Sgt. Pepper idea, which, you know, looks to us a little tired, I guess, you know, from the standpoint of 40 years later at times, seemed very fresh at the time. You know, this element of reviving aspects of traditional culture and recasting them in countercultural terms was something that was going on a lot. And this idea of taking these, you know, old kind of marching band conceits and recasting them as, you know, this kind of psychedelic army, that was a real important part of what Sgt. Pepper was about as well. The sense in which the immediacy of it, you know, Jimi Hendrix playing the Sgt. Pepper reprise on stage, you know, a day or two after the record came out, you know, the immediacy of that kind of impact, you know, there was a sense in which, you know, the album...
Wait, take that sentence again. There was a sense...
Oh, okay. There was a sense in which the album was communicating not just, you know, not just to fans, but to other people, you know, who were, you know, in the world of the Beatles. You know, other musicians were hearing it and immediately responding to it. So, you know, for those aspects as well, it was, you know, it was extremely significant. The album cover of Sgt. Pepper's is something that was extremely important as well. And what it suggested was a kind of ambition, an artistic ambition, an intellectual ambition. You know, everyone of a kind of cultural significance seemed to be represented there. You know, Edgar Allan Poe or Karl Marx. You know, all of these figures from, you know, politics and culture, from music, were represented. And there was an element in which... The suggestion was everything is changing. You know, this is part of an ongoing kind of historical evolution, and everything is changing. And that was the message of Sgt. Pepper, that this is kind of an inauguration into a new world. You know, people believed this. You know, I believed it. And I think that, you know, it seemed very palpable, you know, and it seemed very much in that music. There was an element of new possibility, and somehow, you know, what this record represented was all of that. You know, there was a desire to pull it all together. So the artwork was important, the costumes were important, the music was important, the lyrics were important. You know, every single aspect of it, you know, seemed to resonate in very, very significant ways. Well, for me, the summer of 1967, along with Sgt. Pepper, I very much remember walking into a concert. I was going to see the Young Rascals perform for free in Central Park in New York, and seeing Jimi Hendrix open for the Rascals, and just completely having my mind ripped out of my head by what I was watching. You know, I'd heard Hendrix, I'd heard Hey Joe, actually on FM radio, as a matter of fact. And, you know, so I had some idea of, you know, what he was up to, but I had no preparation for what I was going to see. And that summer was kind of, seemed to be somehow filled with those kinds of revelations. You know, that sense in which you go somewhere, you know, you buy the new Beatles album. Well, it turns out to change your life. You know, you go to see a, you know, a concert in Central Park. Well, it turns out to be life transforming. You know, that was, you know, part of what was happening then. It seemed like the changes were coming so quickly that, it was like a series of electrical charges, like one set off another one. So, you know, Sgt. Pepper was not something that existed exclusively. It seemed to kind of set the tone for ambitions and expectations, and kind of be, you know, a kind of peak among peaks for what was happening, you know, at that time. Because it was, you know, look, it was a very, very rich time musically and culturally. There was a sense that in the summer of 1967 that Sgt. Pepper was the field on which everyone else was playing. It was the kind of context in which everyone else was creating. And it wasn't a competitive thing, because competing with the Beatles at that point, there just simply would have been no point to it. But whether or not, you know, you were listening to the Rolling Stones, or you were listening to Bob Dylan, or you were listening to Jimi Hendrix, or you're listening to Cream, you know, all of those artists, you know, were listening to the Beatles. And everyone, it seemed, was kind of working toward the same end. There was a sense in which, you know, this was a musical revolution, and everybody was taking part in it. And in a, the Beatles were kind of the avant-garde, and everyone else was following.